CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Long War Journals, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Bill Rajo and Tom Jocelyn. We're discussing the tragedy at Kabul, which is unfinished. We understand that these last hours are extremely dangerous for everyone in Afghanistan, not just around the airport, not just at the airport, but the whole country, because darkness has descended upon a country that was allied not only with the U.S., but with NATO forces for decades, two decades. Question always raised in these decades, Al-Qaeda. We can see the Taliban. We can see the Taliban's claims of success these last weeks and months. For years, the Taliban has prided itself on announcing it's war season. You know, this is springtime. We're going on the offensive. Or it's wintertime. We're retreating. Or we cross the border into Pakistan. For years, we've heard that Al-Qaeda has a link to the Taliban. But then over the last year, I'm guessing now, over the last year, the Taliban's been keen to say that the Al-Qaeda is not here, that the Al-Qaeda has left us, or the Al-Qaeda is withdrawn. Tom, I begin with you because this is the most challenging of all, which is Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. What is right now the Haqqani network, and what does it represent as a link to Al-Qaeda?
Well, John, you know, let me back up for listeners here to understand. So for the last, you know, more than a dozen years, Bill and I have been documenting on a weekly basis the evidence of Al-Qaeda's enduring presence in Afghanistan. And Al-Qaeda decided many years ago that it was, really since the beginning, that it was operating under the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan's banner. In other words, it was operating under the banner of the Taliban to resurrect the Taliban's regime. So a lot of their operations, a lot of the evidence about what they're doing, they weren't going to announce. They weren't going to tell the public what they were doing because it was really in service of resurrecting the Taliban's regime. Moreover, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban concocted this lie that Al-Qaeda is not here while they're fighting to win the war. And therefore, you know, there's no excuse for the U.S. and its allies to be here. And unfortunately, too many people in the American establishment bought into these lies in one way or another, or didn't do the type of work they should have done to understand what Al-Qaeda was doing. Now, if you contrast this with ISIS-K, which is all over the press now, understandably, because ISIS is a threat. Of course it is. But ISIS is very in your face. They're very obvious about what they're doing, whereas Al-Qaeda took the approach of being the shadow army. In fact, they were actually called themselves at one point the shadow army, or Lashkar-e-Azil in Afghanistan. But here's the point. So you're seeing a lot of people now talking about the threat of Al-Qaeda in the Washington establishment, the threat of Al-Qaeda returning to Afghanistan. What I would say to listeners is all you have to do is look at the Long War Journal over the last 12 plus years to know that framing is entirely inaccurate. They've been there all along. They're there now. Yes, some senior Al-Qaeda figures will return to Afghanistan. Yes, some fighters will relocate to Afghanistan, perhaps many. But the fact of the matter is Al-Qaeda's had a footprint in Afghanistan all along. And one of the ways you can detect this is the close working relationship between the Haqqani network, which controls the hierarchical positions of the Taliban's military and political infrastructure. They control key positions there. They also control key special forces that really won this war for the Taliban. And yet there is an encyclopedia of evidence showing that the Haqqanis are deeply in bed with Al-Qaeda and have been so since the 1980s. In fact, it often, you know, Bill and I would always joke with one another. It's often difficult to figure out if a guy is a Haqqani guy or an Al-Qaeda guy because they're the same thing. And many times the overlap is so striking in that regard. And so, for example, the number two of the Taliban, the warlord, the guy who won the war really for the Taliban, Sirajuddin Haqqani, he's been an Al-Qaeda man all along. And there's plenty of evidence, including files recovered in Osama bin Laden's compound, operational evidence, other secondary reporting, other primary sources, just a plethora of evidence, including even a video put out by the Haqqanis in 2016. That the Haqqanis and Sirajuddin remain in Al-Qaeda's camp, and they have been all along. So the bottom line is that this is one of the major foundational failures here in this war. It's why Bill and I talk about Al-Qaeda so often, because the establishment failed to understand over the course of 20 years what Al-Qaeda was doing in Afghanistan, and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda won this war, so it's not about them returning. They've been there all along.
Bill, like yesterday, the attack on a CIA-linked base in Afghanistan. I believe it was 2009. I could have the date off, but it's more than 10 years ago. At the time and since then, there have been repeated reports that the Haqqani network launched that attack. Can we now say that attack by the Haqqani network was at the direction of Al-Qaeda, that particular attack?
Yeah, as Tom said, it's difficult to tell where one ends and the other begins. So if it is a Haqqani attack, the likelihood is extremely high that Al-Qaeda was involved in it and vice versa. And that's where, that's just the entire MO. We've tracked raid after raid in Afghanistan where Haqqanis were killed and alongside them Al-Qaeda was killed. Raids on Al-Qaeda camps in eastern Afghanistan where Haqqanis are present. Raids in U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan where in Haqqani-controlled territory where a Haqqani leader was killed and Al-Qaeda was accompanying them or vice versa. We killed a top-level Al-Qaeda leader and they were sheltering with Haqqanis. But one thing I want to be clear about here is the Haqqanis are just the easiest the example to show that the Taliban Al-Qaeda relationship. We can name other elements of other factions of the Taliban. The Taliban really call them fronts. For instance, the Mullah Aminullah in Peshawar, he's a senior Taliban leader who was designated by the U.S. and runs a madrasa. He's not Haqqani, but he's also Al-Qaeda. Mullah Zakir, who's now been named a defense minister, he was at Guantanamo Bay, deep ties to Al-Qaeda. We could go on and on. The Haqqanis are just the easy reference because of the designations and the reams of evidence that Tom has talked about. But there's others. Al-Qaeda is imbued into the Taliban, and it is key. The other thing, too, Al-Qaeda's operations to help the Taliban in northern Afghanistan during this offensive. We can go on and on about the links between the two. It's not just Haqqani. Haqqanis are the easiest one to point to. And it's an extremely, as Tom said, it's probably the most influential, most powerful Taliban faction. But there are others, and they do matter as well.
Tom, Bill is talking about the very difficult linkage between the Haqqani network and the Al-Qaeda. Is there clarity for the U.S. government as well?
Yeah, you know, what Bill's saying is this is an easy piece of analysis to do to show how the Haqqanis are in bed with Al-Qaeda, and I totally agree with that. It's what we've been doing for many years. It's a layup, really, whereas more other pieces of evidence are more like a half-court shot or a difficult three-pointer, well, you know, with stiff defense. This is really an uncontested layup to show the Haqqanis are in bed with Al-Qaeda. But the thing is that this speaks again to the problems in the Washington establishment, is that even with this uncontested layup, they can't get it right. They have a brick shot, basically. They hit the rim and the ball bounces away. Because you see recently that State Department spokesman Ned Price said that the Haqqani network and the Taliban are really distinct organizations, separate organizations. This is flat false. Not only is the as Bill and I have rebutted this argument for many years, in fact, the Taliban and the Haqqanis have rebutted this argument. They are, in fact, one and the same. And the Haqqanis not only control senior hierarchical positions within the Taliban's, both their political and military structure, they also control a lot of the special forces that won the war for the Taliban. So it's just false. But then you also see, the spokesman for the Defense Department, Kirby, who comes out and says, well, there's a certain amount of commingling here between the Haqqanis and the Taliban. So not only can they not get the Haqqanis and Al-Qaeda right, which is very easy, as we've said, they can't get the fact that the Haqqanis are the Taliban right. This is not, I saw somebody on Twitter saying, well, you need a Venn diagram where there's some overlap between the two. No. The Venn diagram is one circle. They are the same thing. There is no distinction between the two. And yet, despite all this mound of evidence that the Haqqanis actually won this war and that they are the Taliban and that they've been fighting this war all along. In fact, Jalaluddin Haqqani, the patriarch of the so-called Haqqani network, took over the Taliban's military forces in October 2001. They've literally been running this war for 20 years, and yet the U.S. military establishment and the political establishment can't get it right. That's part of what the failure is here.
Tom and Bill, both, for some time we kept a map of the camps, Al-Qaeda camps, training camps in Afghanistan. Bill, do you recall that map had the largest camp outside of Kandahar, is my memory. Is that correct?
Yes. So we actually never did put it together, a map of the camps, because we never really get specific locations. The only place, there's one or two places that we're aware of. The one you're referring to is Shorabak Camp. This was in Kandahar province. Now, keep in mind, the U.S. government and military and intelligence establishment for for 6 years were telling us there was only 50 to 100 Al-Qaeda operatives in Afghanistan, and they were all based in the northeastern Afghanistan. October 2015, the U.S. military, after launching a raid against another Al-Qaeda camp that wasn't in the northeast, discovers intelligence about a massive camp in Shorabak district in Kandahar. They strike. There's two camps. One of them, the U.S. commander said it was the largest seen in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda camp since prior to 9/11. So this was happening under the nose of the U.S. and Afghan intelligence. And 150 Al-Qaeda fighters are estimated to have been killed during the operation. So what happens, the U.S. ups the estimate from to about 200 to 300. We'd argue still these estimates are very likely wrong given what we've seen, what we've tracked, where Al-Qaeda had been operating in Afghanistan. And this doesn't happen with the support of the Taliban. Kandahar is not the home of the Haqqani network. There's other Taliban factions at play there and in Helmand, where in Baram Jah, where it's known that there's an Al-Qaeda camp. That isn't Haqqani territory. This is Taliban territory, outside of the Haqqanis. So these are the important aspects to understand. Like Tom said, these are more difficult arguments to make, but the facts are undeniable. The Taliban Al-Qaeda ties run deep throughout Afghanistan.
And Bill, all the drone attacks in the borderland between Pakistan and Afghanistan, those were launched at the time. This is decade worth, more than a decade. Those were launched at the time because they had Al-Qaeda links, correct? Do I remember that correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. The U.S. was targeting Al-Qaeda's network, and some of that was in areas in North Waziristan controlled by the Haqqanis. Others were other Taliban factions within Pakistan. We're referring to the drone strikes in Pakistan, which ended in 2017. There was numerous areas where in Pakistan, too, where Al-Qaeda was operating, where the U.S. did not launch drone strikes. And then within Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda was targeted and a whole host of jihadist groups, not just Al-Qaeda. It was all part of the jihadist network, or the nexus between the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and all of the various jihadist groups in Central Asian jihadist groups, including many Pakistani jihadist groups.
I'm speaking with Bill Rajo and Tom Johnson, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Long War Journal. We're referring to events that happened more than a decade ago. The reason for this is that Bill and Tom have kept the map as well as the chronology of what we know and what we don't know about the war in Afghanistan. It's all available at the Long War Journal. But going forward now, just as we've been illustrating the shadow nature of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Taliban in this war, these are generally understood as jihadists, it's even more difficult to discern the hand of sovereign states. When we come back, Pakistan, Iran in particular, but also Moscow. This is the Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.